When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We have covered devils, monsters, kings, queens, and even a witch or two. But one thing we haven't learned about is an angel. An angel of death, that is. That was the nickname of one of the cruelest doctors in all of history, Joseph Mengele, the USS member who was like something out of a nightmare. Unfortunately, he was a flesh and blood man, in more ways than one. Magic mirror on the wall, who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and thank you for joining me on my lessons. Here we don't just go through history, we resurrect it. Using my magical mirror and a touch of humor, we delve into the lives and actions of some rotten people, bringing their stories to life to learn from their mistakes. I have been fascinated with the real angel of death. I've even said that if I could choose a job in the afterlife, it would be just that. I don't revel in death or anything so grim. I see it more as an omnipotent necessity of balance, the ultimate gray area. Neither good nor evil, and you get to shepherd every person to the next level of existence. Oh, hey girl! Yeah, honey, you're dead. Don't worry, though. The next place is much better. One could say, it's to die for. No, but come on, we gotta go. I'm sorry, but I have to get my jokes out now because this is a lesson where there isn't much room for them. The angel of death in our lesson today, Joseph Mengele, shouldn't even have the name angel anywhere near his. He is an example of just how rotten a human can get. Now, doctors already do some pretty gross stuff. Operations, amputations, experiments, and more. Myself, I passed out last time I had to have an IV put in. Ugh. Not Joseph, though. He actually enjoyed what he did to others and liked to find new and creative ways to push the limits of crimes against humanity. Joseph started life out new and fresh like all of us. Born on March 16, 1911, he was the eldest son of a wealthy Catholic family that owned a farming equipment supply company. His family was the largest supplier of farming equipment in the area, and since he was the oldest son, he was under pressure to succeed from the get-go. By all accounts, he was a bright and popular child who was watched by his mother like a hawk. His childhood was exactly what you'd think of when you picture the eldest son of a rich family. Pretty stereotypical. He especially liked music, art, and skiing, and privilege was one thing Joseph never lacked. He graduated high school in 1930 and moved to Munich to study philosophy and medicine at the University of Bonn. Learning wasn't the only thing he did there, though. That's also where the SS kept their headquarters. And just a few years after moving there, Joseph was absorbed into it. Around the same time he was achieving his PhD in anthropology, he was becoming a member of one of the deadliest groups in history. Did they not have the Hippocratic Oath back then? In 1937, he joined the Institute of Hereditary Biology and Racial Hygiene in Frankfurt, working for a geneticist who was fascinated by twins. If you have ever heard about how twins were treated in the death camps, Joseph is the man who did it. He would later prefer them for his medical experiments because they shared the same anatomy and DNA. It wasn't just twins, though. Joseph developed an eye for anyone who was different, either too tall, physically deformed, or anyone with restricted growth. He grew to enjoy selecting his victims based on how much he could make them suffer, and it all stemmed from his belief that anyone who was not genetically superior, aka the Aryan race, should be exterminated or sterilized. Joseph didn't see his victims as people. In his eyes, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He believed he was actually making the world a better place through his actions. On July 28, 1939, Joseph married Irene Schonbein, who was the dream of any Aryan man. She was pretty, blonde, and had blue eyes. They had to actually fight to get married. Since Joseph was a member of the SS, his new bride had to show proof that she was of pure blood. She wasn't able to completely, and initially, their marriage was refused. But Joseph's rich family pulled a few strings and scratched a few backs, and their marriage was eventually allowed. By now, Joseph had completely absorbed the ideology of the SS. Anti-Semitism, racial hygiene, eugenics. Remember that from our Scientology episode. The belief in bettering mankind by altering and selecting certain genetics, and German territorial expansion. You know, this is why I often procrastinate when I write about such rotten people. It takes a little time for me to wrap my head around what some people have done in the past. I've been trying to find better ways to learn more from our rotten people and open my mind to the lessons found in their actions. Along with my usual go-to hiking in the woods, I started using those cute little natural energy shots. I drink it with my cup of coffee in the morning, and it's helped me in my social anxiety and habit of putting things off. I started adding it to my morning routine since it already had all the stuff I was already taking. Turmeric, ashwagandha, B12, and lion's mane mushroom. I liked it so much, I got my bestie and her husband drinking it now. At our age, we'll take all the focus and energy we can get, healthily. For me, too much caffeine knocks me out or gives me the shakes. But it uses ceremonial matcha instead. It keeps me focused without making me feel anxious. And let's be real, I've been super anxious the past few months, so I'm really glad I started taking it. They do have a limited offer you can use now that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code ROTTENTOTHECORE20 at checkout. You can claim it at magicmind.com/ROTTENTOTHECORE. While I was researching Joseph, I needed all the help I could get to find a useful lesson. He had even started receiving training in 1938 and had worked up his way to second lieutenant in a medical reserve battalion. Eventually, in 1942, Joseph was declared unfit for further active service due to being wounded in action. And after a short recovery period, he was promoted to an SS captain. That young boy born into privilege and who went to university originally to study philosophy was now a full-fledged Nazi. He had fallen for the propaganda from Hitler, and his path was now set in stone. Joseph would cling to their beliefs for the remainder of his life, and I'm sad to say, it was a long one, unlike those who crossed his path. To him, he was just following orders and doing his job, and that's the last thing he said to his son years later. It's believed that Joseph's family didn't know what he was doing while away from home. He would wake up, have breakfast with them, reading the paper like any other family. Then he put on his dapper suit, donned his hat, and when he walked out the door, became a heartless monster. By 1943, Joseph was assigned to Auschwitz concentration death camp. There is even evidence that he specifically requested to work there. Yes, he asked to work there. This is what separated Joseph from most of the other SS members. Not that it excuses them in any way. Some of them were just following orders, usually under the penalty of death. They did terrible, vile, and unforgivable things. But if they refused or fought back, they and their families could have been killed. A lot of SS officers had to resort to substance abuse to alter themselves enough to follow orders. Joseph was straight-edged, though. Again, that does not excuse anyone who said that they were following orders. There is always a point in life where you have to ask yourself difficult questions like, where do my duties end and conscience begin? Witnesses later would say how normal and alert Joseph seemed to be while he did what he did, always wearing a neatly pressed uniform and shiny boots. I was trying to figure out the easiest way to explain what he did, but I found a statement from one of his victims from after the war, and I think words from her experience with Joseph would be best. Her name was Eva Moses Kor. She was one of the twins he experimented on who had been brought in by train to Auschwitz and separated from her family. This is her statement. To look back at my childhood is to remember my experiences as a human guinea pig in the laboratory of Dr. Joseph Mengele. To recount such painful memories is to relieve the horrors of human experimentation, where people were used as mere objects or means to a scientific end. I envision the chimneys, the smell of burning flesh, the medical injections, the endless blood taking, the tests, the dead bodies all around us, the hunger, and the rats. Nothing that is close to human existence existed in that place. No one explained why we were in his laboratory, what was going to be done to us, or what would be our ultimate destiny. There was never an attempt to minimize our risks. In fact, we were there for one reason, to be used as experimental objects and then be killed. He would inject one twin with the germ, then, if and when that twin died, he would kill the other in order to compare organs at autopsy. Our bodies were marked with different colors, and each doctor walked us around continually taking notes. We were called specimens and were photographed and cataloged. There was no way to protest and stay alive. One of the twins, who was 19 years old, told of experiments involving a set of teenage boys and teenage girls. Cross transfusions were carried out in an attempt to make boys into girls and girls into boys. A lot of the boys were castrated. In the area of genetics, he collected dwarfs, giants, hunchbacks, and people with abnormalities and defects. He studied genetic traits in the hopes of purifying the Aryan super race. He also closely monitored eye and hair color. That was from part of Ava's firsthand account of being one of Joseph's twin patients. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. His medical experiment showed no consideration for the victim's health, safety, or physical and emotional suffering. When visiting his young subjects, he introduced himself as Uncle Mengele and even offered them candy. He would even choose boys to follow him around, dressed up as him. He would then be kind to them, giving them candy and making them think that they were safe. Then, once he was done, he would walk them by hand into the crematorium. Humans were operated on without anesthesia while wide awake. Hundreds of children, pregnant women, and babies were horrifically experimented on and thrown into fire. In an effort to sterilize Jewish people, he had hundreds of men castrated to prevent them from ever having children if they survived the camp. Joseph always said he was just following orders and never felt remorse for anything he did. If that was the case, why did he burn all of his stuff? In January 1945, Mengele escaped Auschwitz with the rest of the SS personnel as the Soviet Red Army advanced through western Poland. The next few months, he avoided capture and wore a German army uniform and even joined a military unit. Eventually, they surrendered to U.S. military forces, and posing as a German officer, he was released by the U.S. Army in August of 1945, unaware that his name was already on a list of wanted war criminals. Can you believe it? That's two SS members we've covered who were captured by American Army members after the war, and then they let them go. I know they didn't have good pictures and stuff back then, but in May 1960, Israeli intelligence agents captured Adolf Eichmann in Argentina. Remember, we covered him a few weeks ago. Joseph fled, and with support from his family in Germany, he spent the rest of his life under an assumed name in Brazil. Shortly before his death, his son, who was now an adult, came to see his father for the first time in decades. He said that he tried to ask him to repent for what he had done during the war, in an attempt to recognize some little bit of humanity in his father. Something that had died a long time ago. Not once in Joseph's diaries did he mention remorse. In fact, he believed that remorse was diminishing oneself. But at the same time, for his final few years, Joseph lived in a never-ending state of stress, based on his diaries. He wrote that he was always anxious that someone was going to scoop him up and bring him to justice. He was jumpy, anxious, and terrified for years, until February 7, 1979. Joseph went on vacation, and while swimming, he had a stroke and drowned at the age of 67. He was never brought to justice and forced to pay for any of the things he did during World War II. There might not have been justice for him while alive, but there is some poetic justice as to what happened to him after. In 1985, when several governments worked together to find him and raided his family's home, they found evidence that he had died and was buried in Brazil. And they actually found his grave and exhumed him. They performed a DNA analysis and were able to positively identify him. Well, his family didn't want to bring his remains back to Germany, for good reason. So his skeleton was then stored at the Sao Paulo Institute for Forensic Medicine, where it remains. How is that poetic justice? Well, it has been used ever since as an educational aid for forensic medicine. The sadistic doctor who used his life to hurt and perform experiments on helpless people now gets to spend an eternity being experimented on. I know it's nothing like a court of law, but at least it's something. Joseph Mengele was born into privilege and didn't seem to suffer any known scarring traumas growing up, like a lot of our other rotten lessons. His belief that any one race was better than another and the wholehearted mindset that he was right was what turned him into a monster. Even until his dying day, he never felt a touch of remorse, sadness, or pain for all the things he did. Let him be a lesson to us all that no one is superior to anyone. In the words of one of his former victims, Ava Moses Kaur, the dignity of all human beings must be respected, preserved, and protected at all cost. Life without dignity is mere existence. I experience such loss of dignity every single day as a guinea pig in Dr. Mengele's laboratory. All these years later, I still feel great pain and anger by the way I was treated by the doctors. These same doctors that had taken an oath to help and to save human life. That brings us to the end of our lesson today, my darlings. Let's cleanse ourselves and I'll let you be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity in alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about Joseph Mengele and what lessons you learned today on any of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History. And you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane and our friend producer Kim. We also have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole where we can interact and have a plethora of extra fun. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic week, my darlings. Bye. Don't forget to give Magic Mind a shot, too, especially if you're an anxious Annie like me. The limited offer they have, you can now use, that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code ROTTENTOTHECORE20 at checkout. You can claim it at magicmind.com/ROTTENTOTHECORE.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.